So last week we introduced a little bit about some of the halachas and some of the minhagim that govern the time of year that we're in right now. So last week we focused primarily on the halachas and minhagim of the 3 weeks. Then we'll move a little bit into the period of the 9 days, the period of Shavuot, Shabbat, Tisha B'Av. So that halachic unit of the 9 days really does appear in Chazal. Chazal speak about Mishanichnas Av Mat B'Simcha. The phrase 9 days isn't used by Chazal, but the concept of beginning of Elos to a much stronger level on Rosh Chodesh Av, so that definitely does appear in Chazal. What are the ramifications of Mishnah Chazal Mat B'Simcha? What exactly are we required to do? What are we not allowed to do? So many of the things that we're familiar with are actually not really halachas. Many things that we're familiar with, eating meat and drinking wine and the swimming and things of that nature. So many of those things are only B'Toras Minhag, but there are some things that are actually B'Toras Halacha. Some of them are halacha even beginning from Rosh Chodesh. Some of them are halacha that appear during the Shavua Shechabal Tisha B'Av and have been extended by Minhag to Rosh Chodesh. And some of them are minhagim lagamrei, mitchila v'atzoif. So let's see if we could try to analyze and get a little bit of a better understanding of how some of these halachas and minhagim play out. So the Gemara speaks about mishnechislam v'matan b'simcha. One of the things Chazal speak about is v'matan b'masa v'matan. One is supposed to limit the amount of business and buying and selling that one does during this period of time. So there is a machlekes to be shown him what kind of masa matan are we referring to. Are we referring to masa v'matan shal simcha? Particularly buying things that are enjoyable, or does it mean in general, all kinds of masa umatan, all kind of business is supposed to be curtailed during this period of time. So the poskim mentioned, the Shabur quotes about it, that many people were very lenient about this, especially in Europe. You know, people's parnasa was literally hanging by a thread. So to tell people to close the stores and not to go shopping, and not to do anything for 9 full days, was very, very difficult. So in Europe, the minute used to be that the people would be very lenient, that the matan only refers to dvarim shel simcha mamish. The poskim say that whatever is unnecessary should try to be avoided. Whatever is bare-bone necessary to just make one be able to function properly, whatever person needs a little bit of parnasa, that's okay. But otherwise, this is not really the time for any great purchasing taking place during the period of Mishnechas Av v'matim v'simcha. The Gemara also speaks about mimatim v'binyan as well, that one is not supposed to be involved in construction during this period of time. So once again, there are different opinions. Does that refer to specifically binyanim shel simcha? Does it apply to other kind of construction? So we try as best as we can to minimize unnecessary building, unnecessary repair, house repairs, unnecessary construction during this time as well. There is a question in the poskim about, let's say I'm not doing the building myself. I hired a non-Jew to do the building. So this is part of a general question. And many times during the year, when construction is off limits, on Shabbos, Yom Tov, Chol Hamoed, so what are the halachas if I hire a non-Jew, in particular if the non-Jew begins the work from before the period, and he's doing it at his own pace? So I'm not insisting that he works on the 9 days proper. I'm hiring him for a job a week before Rosh Chodesh, and I tell him, listen, I need it done by Rosh Chodesh. He decides to do it during the 9 days. Is that my problem or not? So this is a machlokes rishonim. The Mishnah Berurah writes that meik mikra din, one has a right to be makel on this, that as long as it's what's called a kablon, that it's somebody who's a worker who's not linked to a particular time, but he's more of a contractor to work at his own pace, and he chooses to work on during the 9 days, so technically speaking, that's mutter. And nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says it's better to avoid that also. Matoy, one should try to avoid that. But the Mishnah Berurah says if it's a makom mitzvah something, so then one has a right to be much more lenient. So we had a strange application of this. We had a strange application of this when we built our shul. So when, this goes back 15 years ago, I don't know, Zach, maybe, I don't know if you remember the construction days of the shul, a little boy at the time. But when we built our shul, so a lot of the construction was done in the summertime. And it had been raining for a while before Rosh Chodesh, and they were supposed to do the framing on the house, and everything was held in place for 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, the first really, really nice day was Tisha B'Av. So I happened to have been up in the mountains. I was in Marashah and Kol at the time, and my wife happened to have been home, and she calls me friends. He said, you won't believe it, but the whole building crew is here, and they're building the shul on Tisha B'Av. So I said, it's mutter. I said, it's mutter for 2 reasons. First of all, they were all non-Jewish workers, and we had hired them from beforehand. So they were working at a time that was convenient for them. They could have waited till the next day and tell them to work the Afkam Tisha B'Av. And number two, the Mishnah Berurah says, when it's a makom mitzvah, then everyone agrees one has a right to make us a mamash building a shul. So yesh l'hakol. So in case you're interested, the framing of our Torah, actually, believe it or not, took place on a very sunny Tisha B'Av afternoon about 15, 16 years ago. So There are other practices that Chazal say are also Medina during this period of time, but not beginning from Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, Chazal only speak about the Masa Matar and the Binyan, but there are other practices that are also Mikra Din, but only during the week of Tisha B'Av itself. So the Shavuot Shechab of Tisha B'Av carries with it Isurim of Asla Sapra L'Chabes. One is not allowed to get haircuts, one is not allowed to do laundry. So the haircut part is not relevant for us because Ashkenazim have already accepted this minute, as we said last week, at the beginning of this week, all the way back to the beginning of Shavuot Adam, the beginning of the 3 weeks. So this part is not so relevant for us. But the part that is relevant for us is Lechabes, the fact that one's not allowed to do laundry during Shavuot Shechabo, it's a real din, and before Shavuot Shechabo, it's b'teres minog in the Ashkenazi communities. What is included in this prohibition of doing laundry? So there are two parts of the issur. There's one issur of the act of doing laundry itself, even if I'm not necessarily going to wear the laundry. And then there's a second act that if I'm wearing freshly washed clothing, that is also considered to be a problem. So even though the clothing was washed before Rosh Chodesh, if I'm wearing something that's freshly washed, that's also included in the Issur, either in the Issur during the week of Tisha B'Av or the minute already beginning from Rosh Chodesh of Asur Lechabes. What kinds of clothing are covered by this Issur? So here the post can make the following distinction in Hilchos Avelos itself, where the real denim of Kibbutz apply in Hilchos Avelos, person is in Shiva. So here the Pesach Shiva quotes that although a person is not supposed to put on freshly washed clothing during Shiva, one is permitted to change one's underwear and socks and things that are very sweaty. What is that based on? So the Pesach Shuvah Nuchos Avelos writes that, because the Mishnah tells us that when one observes Avelos, even Avelos of Shiva, which is a real, real din, one is not required to observe Avelos if it's a situation of an istinus, if it's something that causes pain. Avelos is supposed to be a refraining from excessive pleasures and tanugim, but for a person to undergo physical pain, that's not necessary. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah says in Maseches Brachos in the second parak, that Rabbi Gamliel was an istinus, and he was very, very delicate, and if he wouldn't wash himself for a week, he would get all itchy and uncomfortable. So he was permitted to take a shower, even though he was mamash in Avelos. So Pesach Shuvah writes, the same is true when it comes to the issue of wearing freshly washed clothing, to tell a person not to change his underwear for a week, not to change his socks, it's going to be sweaty and ochy and smelly, it's going to be very, very physically uncomfortable. And therefore, that would be permissible. One's allowed to put on newly washed clothing. One should not be washing the clothing during the 9 days. One should try to have washed everything from beforehand. But the putting on of the clothing wouldn't be a problem. What kind of clothing would be a problem to put on? So clothing that a person doesn't change all the time, clothing that doesn't really get so sweaty, so that would pose a problem. That would be part of this issur / minhag of asur lechabes. So that includes things like pants and jackets and sweaters, things of that nature. There is a question in the contemporary Rabbanim today where shirts fit into the picture. So some, I guess, depends how often you change your shirt. So if you change your shirt all the time, so shirts are considered to be a big day, we're supposed to go big day Zaya, and therefore just as you're allowed to, whenever you want, put on a new pair of underwear, a new pair of socks, you would be permitted to put on a new shirt as well. According to others, who think that if you don't change your shirts that much, so they're closer to the pants and the suit model, and then that would be potentially a problem. Those kinds of articles of clothing that are problematic, that are questionable to put on during this period of time, so how does one, is there any way to circumvent this? So there is a Ramon, Nuchas Avelos, that has the following idea. The Ramon, Nuchas Avelos, talks about switching, putting on new clothing during Shloshim. Shloshim, who said you're not allowed to put new clothing during Shloshim, it's only during Shiva. So there is a Machlekes HaRishayim. There's one day in Taisus that says that the Issur of Kibbutz to wear freshly washed clothing applies even during Shloshim. So Me'ikra Din, we probably don't pass in that way. But there was a minhag, the Ramah writes, there was a minhag to be chayshish for that. And the Ramah writes that therefore in Oval, the entire Shloshim shouldn't be putting on new pants, newly fresh pants, new fresh sweaters, jackets, etc., unless somebody else wears it for a short time. The Ramah writes, if somebody else puts it on like a little bit beforehand, so then it's not really mechubasim, it's not really freshly clothing, freshly washed clothing, and therefore that would be okay. So the Ramah was willing to accept that, since the whole thing is a minhag anyway, it's not so chomer anyway, it's a das yochin anyway. So as long as somebody's wearing it for a short amount of time, so mikra didn't, that would be acceptable. So that which the Ramah writes in Hilchos Avelos has been carried over by the poskim to the 9 days as well. That whereas in Hilchos Avelos you have the option of having somebody else put it on for you, in the 9 days you don't have that option because everyone's in Avelos. So who's going to put it on for you? So it says you have to put it on yourself before the 9 day starts. So that's the source for the famous minhag that everyone knows as a kid from camp. A guy's walking around with 16 shirts and 14 pairs of pants at the same time. So Lekayim, that minhag that the Ramah quotes is in Tuktu and Hilchos Avelos. In Hilchos Avelos, so the poskim discuss how long does a person have to put it on for. It's very unclear. So some poskim use the phrase, you don't have to put it on for so long, just an hour or two. That's a lashon of some poskim, an hour or two. So if people put him on for a minute or two, a second or two, you know, it's, the guy finished playing ball and he jumped out of the shower and he's late for supper and Rosh Chodesh Ki is in 10 minutes and he realizes he's got 16 pairs of pants that he hasn't put on yet. The whole summer he only wears one pair of pants. For the entire, but all of a sudden before the 9 days he needs 16 different pairs of pants. So one should try to put him on for a little bit of time. You don't have to put him on for so long. A little bit, a little something, a little mashim. This minig of not using freshly washed clothing, applies to linen, to towels, all those kinds of things. Unless a person, let's say a person is a guest in somebody's house, and a person is a guest in a hotel. So the minig is you don't have to use the filthy sheets from the last guest. You're allowed to use clean sheets. Why is that? So the Rav Tzitz Eliezer writes in the Chuva, that's like an istinus. Again, hopefully it would be like an istinus for that. I would assume that most people wouldn't want to sleep on sheets that the last guest in the hotel, even pre-COVID days, in a normal situation, I wouldn't want to sleep in somebody else's dirty pillowcase and dirty sheets. So that's considered like a shtickle istinus. So therefore, when you come, you go away for Shabbos, and there are fresh sheets there, so you don't have to start trampling them and throwing them on the floor and making a whole fuss and asking the host to take out some of the stuff out of the dirty laundry pile. Could sleep, but yeah, you could sleep on the clean sheets. That wouldn't be a problem in your own home. So why don't you try to be careful to arrange whatever linen and towels, that kind of stuff, should be used a little bit beforehand.
What about bringing your own towels and sheets and just changing
them? You mean because otherwise it won't be any? I mean, it won't if you're.
If you're going away to a hotel,
I mean, I'm chuyuf have to go bring my own dirty stuff with me to the hotel. I don't know. I'm not sure you're chuyuf to. I don't know. Not too many people are going away this year. Okay. There are other minhagim related to clothing that involved during the 9 days. There are more quotes in minhag that one doesn't wear big day Shabbos during the 9 days, even on Shabbos. The Gemara writes that Shabbos chazon, so one comes to shul in their weekday clothing, not in their Shabbos clothing. So probably none of us have seen that minhag because we shouldn't follow that minhag. The Gra says that he doesn't think that's correct. You think that minig is shalai kedin, because to insist that everybody wears their weekday clothing, so that would be everyone should wear the weekday clothing, that would be a violation of Avelus for Hesia. But we're not supposed to draw attention to Avelus. That on Shabbos, even if a person is in the middle of Shiva, so he doesn't walk around with his ripped shirt, he doesn't walk around with his sneakers on, he doesn't sit on the floor, he doesn't do anything that's going to draw attention to his Avelus. The Baruch Hashem would sin on private parts of Avelus and Noeg and Shabbos, but public manifestations of Avelus are put on hold. So the Gra writes, if you're going to walk into shul with your weekday clothing, that's going to be such a shter to cover Shabbos, so it's going to draw attention. People are going to think that it's available for Hesed, and that would be not appropriate. What's the Nekudas HaMachlokes, the Ramon, the Gra? Why wasn't the Ramon worried about that? So the Biki Yosef explains that this is not a halachic issue, this is a metzias issue. It depends what the community minig is in general. So apparently in the days of the Ramon, not everybody was able to afford Shabbos clothes. So every once in a while, you'd have a crazy thing. A guy would come into shul wearing weekday clothing on a regular weekday, on a regular Shabbos, not a Shabbos chazon. So in the Ramah's world, in Krakow in the 1500s, so apparently it wasn't like so crazy to see a guy in weekday clothing on Shabbos. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't afford a Shabbos suit. So therefore, if everyone's wearing weekday clothing, it doesn't give such an impression of Avelus for Hesia. Apparently in the days of the Gra, everyone got so rich in Vilna. Lithuanians, everyone became so wealthy, they were able to afford a second suit. So apparently in the Gra's world, so people at Shabbos clothing, you see everybody walking into shul with their weekday clothing, that's going to draw attention. So what's the din in our communities? So our communities, Baruch Hashem, everybody can afford Shabbos clothing, and everybody should be wearing Shabbos clothing. I said this many, many times over, that for a person, Lufianias Daiti, for a guy to be walking around on Shabbos afternoon in his shorts and a t-shirt and the sneakers and whatever it is, Lufianias Daiti is a bitl mitzvah di araisa. The Torah says Mikra Kodesh, and the Torah's Kohanim says that you have to have special clothing for Shabbos. When you see a person on Shabbos, you have to know that's called Mikra Kodesh. That's upside. Kedusha Tika Lavush. A person's wearing his regular weekday clothing, so that would be a problem. That's why I try on Shabbos during the year, so I wear a tie all the time. I try in the summers, I usually don't wear a tie unless I'm doing some shul business. Otherwise, I'm in the summer mode. So on Shabbos, I walk around on a weekday. If I take a walk with my wife, I won't wear a tie. On Shabbos, I'll put my tie on. If it's not so hot out, I'll put my jacket on also. But if it's 95 degrees out, so at least I make sure to wear my tie. Everyone should realize the rabbi's got his tie and it must be Shabbos. But if a person's walking around with their shorts and t-shirts and flip-flops, so Lefianias Daiti, that's not correct. That's a violation of the din of Mikra Kodesh. The But besides for that, besides for on Shabbos, then you get the impression from the Ramah that you're not really supposed to be dressed fancy during the 9 days. Not really supposed to be wearing Shabbos clothes during the 9 days. We wouldn't be wearing them for anything. Where are you going? You're either wearing a Shabbos clothes for Shabbos or you're going to Chasna. So it's, you're not wearing a Shabbos, we pass it, it's okay. And no one's going to Chasna in the 9 days. And most people don't have this issue anyway. But in theory, one probably shouldn't be wearing Shabbos clothes out of the context of Shabbos proper. But it's not mechuyev the second Havdalah is over and Matzoy Shabbos Chazon to go run and change. In the stomach, you can wear your Shabbos clothes for a few minutes after the Zos. Not the end of it. Okay, so we have a few other halachas / minhagim that play out in terms of this time of year. So one of the most famous ones is the din of basav yayin, the minhag of basav yayin, not that basav yayin. Where does this come from? Not that basav yayin. So this is a din, but it's not a din in the 9 days, and it's not even a din for Shechab or Tisha B'Av. It's only a din in the Sudam of Sekas and Erev Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says at the end of Masechet Tainis, at the very end of the day, on Erev Tisha B'Av, if it's in the afternoon, it's after Chatzos, and it's the last meal that you're eating before the fast, so that's called the Sudam of Sekas. And there are certain halachas that govern the Sudam of Sekas. One of those halachas is that you're not allowed basav yayin. So as an extension of that idea, so we don't have basav yayin the whole week, you see from that Gemara, that basav yayin is antithetical to the avelus of the day. And especially in light of the Gemara that we quoted last week, that the Ikra din, we should have really stopped having basav yayin all year long, because it's zeich l'churban, because there's no karbanos, there's no nesachim. So remember we mentioned last week there were those people in the end of the third parak of the Basra who used to always refrain from having basav yayin. So ad kedekach, that much we don't accept. That's already too much for us. It's a gezeir shein tibuchon lamed ba, but at least a little bit, we should be nayig, and therefore we have a custom, Ashkenazim, a custom to refrain from basav yayin for the duration of the 9 days. Nevertheless, the Ramah writes that since this is only b'teres minig, only in Sudam of Sekas is it migra din. Since it's only b'teres minig, therefore the minig was never instituted by makom mitzvah. What are some examples of makom mitzvah? So the Ramah gives a few examples. One of them is for Havdalah. The wine for Havdalah is a makom mitzvah. So therefore one is permitted to recite Havdalah over kol sheyayin. The Ramah writes that the minig is that if you don't have to, if it's not necessary to drink the wine, it's better to avoid it. So you should try to give the wine to a katan. If you have somebody who's a little child in the house who's still up on Shabbos, so then the Ramah writes it's preferable to give him to drink the wine. But if you don't have a child, so you're not mechuyev to go run around town finding a child. You're mechuyev to wake up all your kids to Tehar Havdalah. If there's no child easily available, so then you're allowed to drink the wine yourself because it's only a minig anyway. And if you're not going to drink the wine, you're not yet Havdalah. So I'm mevarach to Shiyita, you have to drink some of the wine. So, Leis Brayer, you're allowed to drink the wine yourself. But Lechetchilu, the minig is to try to give it to a child. What kind of a child should this be? So the post can point out that you have to be careful because if the child's too little, and he's low gil lechinich a bracha, so that's a problem. Then I can't make a bracha to be mitzi him. So he has to be old enough to understand how to make a bracha. I don't know how old the kids make brachas. Who's got little siblings in their family? I don't know. How old the kids make brachas? They're four? 4 years old? No, it's not old enough to make brachas. But it has to be a child who's not old enough to understand what churban is. Because if he understands about the churban, so then we're to be mechanichim to observe the minhagim of the 9 days. So if he's 11 years old, so that's probably a little bit too old. So somewhere in between the two, you try to find a child who understands a little bit but doesn't understand too much, and he should be instructed to drink the wine. It should really be grape juice if you want the child to drink it. You shouldn't be giving him wine. He should be drinking a grape juice. You have to be careful that the child listens to the bracha and answers amen and doesn't start walking around and being mafsik. Otherwise, it's going to undo the entire bracha. So have the child stand next to you and make the bar off and sum him in the eish. Then immediately give it to the child. The child has to drink Mali Lugmav. So Mali Lugmav means a little cheekful. Mali Lugmav changes according to the size of the person who's drinking. So the child's going to be a little bit less. But we drink some, even on a regular sized person, the Poskim said, if you drink most of a Revias, that's for sure considered to be Mali Lugmav. So it's not all that much to drink. And again, that's the proper way of performing Havdalah. There are some who have a practice to make Havdalah on beer, other things on Shabbos Chazon. They don't want to get involved in the Shabbos, but again, the Ramah doesn't quote that. And normally we don't make Havdalah on other things. We only make Havdalah on wine or grape juice. But the average, if you're stuck, there's nothing else around, then there are possibly other beverages you can make Havdalah on. I'm not advocating making on beer, but whatever other beverages would be acceptable. But again, I don't think one has to be so machmir in this, but we just drink the regular grape juice if there's no cutting around, because the Ramah himself writes, Mokom Mitzvah, it's okay. Included in the heter makom mitzvah, the Ramah writes, is that if it's a sudas mitzvah, it's also okay. We must make the sudas mitzvah. So a bris is considered to be a sudas mitzvah. Many people insist on having basar and a regular sudas bris. There's a general question whether we should try to be makbid to have a fleshes in a bris. A lot of people try to be makbid for that. Not everybody is so makbid for that. I personally was not makbid for that, except I had the suda afterwards. That means the Suda, my wife wasn't particularly in favor of having deli at 7 o'clock in the morning for the Suda's bris. So we had the bris like everybody else does with those bagels and lox. And then later in the day, so I had some, I had meat too, because the real chi of Suda is really on the Baal Bris, on the father, and the Mayal and the Sandik. So it was makbet to have meat, to have a real Suda later on in the day. So actually it was Avram Zev's bris I'm referring to, that his bris was on a Friday. He was born right after Purim. A couple of 2 days after Purim, so I had bought a pack of deli, some thing of pastrami that I would have just in case if my wife would go into labor on Purim, so at least I would have my Suda to go. So I had in the fridge this pack of a deli. We're not the biggest deli eaters in our family, so it was still sitting there. So I realized a week later, so the Gemara says that if you put aside something for a mitzvah, you should use it for another mitzvah. So instead of the Siddur's Purim, so I used it for the Siddur's Bris. So when we came home from the Bris Friday morning I had a bagel at the Bris like everybody else. And then when we came home, so I sat down. My father-in-law was the Sandik, so he was also considered to halachically to be the Baal Bris. So I remember we were in Paramus at the time, so two of us sat down Friday morning. So at 10 o'clock in the morning, we sat down to have a fleishig breakfast, a post-Bris breakfast with pastrami or whatever it was, to fulfill the din of Siddur's Basa properly at a Bris. So the Ramah writes, if you go to a bris, the seven fleshes shall add fleshes to the 9 days. Then the Ramah writes, the famous school that a siyam asecht is also acceptable. But then the poskim, the Ramah and other later poskim start to put limits on that it shouldn't be a free for all. One guy's going to make a siyam and then the whole world's going to come. That's not right. The only people who should come are people who are generally associated with you, part of your family, close friends, people who would usually call to invite to a siyam. So those people can partake in your siyam. So this was a famous psach that was given by Rav Moshe many years ago in the sleepaway camps up in the mountains. So they asked Rav Moshe that it's very hard for them to make milchak meals for 9 days. It's hard for them to make fleshig meals for 9 days. So they asked, is there any way we can have siyumim? Because the Ramah and the poskim right, they're not supposed to have these big public siyumim. It's supposed to be only for your b'nei abayis, for a couple of friends, some of you you normally invite. So Rav Moshe responded that during camp season, so this is your family, this is your, guess to tell you, this is your bubble, this is your unit. That these are these 200 people, you eat 3 meals a day every day for the next 8 weeks. So this is your temporary family. So this is not like inviting strangers. These are, even though it could be that the kid who's in, who's in Nitzis in camp doesn't know who the person in an Alufim is who makes the scene. I don't know, and with Marashad is, I don't know. So people don't necessarily know everybody else, but still, these are your b'nei bayis, and that's acceptable. And Rav Moshe, if I'm not mistaken, said the same was true in terms of hotel. This is a throwback to the old days, like in the Catskills. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about. But when I was a kid, so everybody went up to the Catskills. He went up to the mountains for a week. And he went up to Grossinger's and whatever hotels in the heyday. So people would go for a week, for 2 weeks at a time to hotels. So if you were in a hotel with the 200 other people, even though you don't really know who they are, but you're eating all 3 meals. You're eating 3 meals a day with them for 2 weeks. So they were also considered to be a b'nei abayis. So then one would be able to participate in the siyumim as well. So this became the background for the prevalent kula in many of our camp and other institutions where they have siyumim, constantly having siyumim. Everyone's considered to be part of the same one big happy family, and that's okay. So again, some like that, some don't like that. Some prefer not to eat meat during the 9 days, these kinds of siyumim. Again, mikra din, everything's mutter, there's minug. So again, if it's a real bona fide siyum, that would be acceptable. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that a siyum has a certain bare bone minimum, what's considered to be a siyum. So Rav Moshe writes it has to be either a siyum on a mesechta, or it has to be a siyum on a seder of Mishnayis, or it could be a siyum on a sefer of Tanakh that's learned by Iyun. A person learns with every Rashi, every Radak, every Imam, you learn all of Iyov by Iyun, so then you could make a siyum. So if the guy is a guy's Mabasedra and he's making a siyum Pashas Matos, so that's maybe not the most appropriate thing. So one has to be careful not to overdo the siyum. Try to eat it. If you can eat meat in Karas, you should try to eat meat at legitimate siyum. There is another minig that the Pelskim quote during the 9 days in terms of showering. So this is a throwback to Chosavelos, and Ovel is not really supposed to shower. So this custom carries over to the 9 days as well. So here the Pelskim are very quick to point out that the 9 days is no more chomer than real Avelos. And when it comes to real Avelos, so the Mishnah says that an Avel who is an Istinus is permitted to shower. What the Mishnah tells to Rambam Gamliel, who took a shower the night that his wife died, and his Talmidim were wondering what happened, and he said he's an Istinus. So the Poskim say, if a guy's an Istinus, you're allowed to violate real Shiva living in Istinus. That's not called a violation of Shiva. What did not mean? You're allowed to take a shower during 9 days, Shavuot, Chag Tishah, Erev Tishah, if it's a situation of an istinus. But Zman Hazeh, we get istinusy very, very quickly. First of all, many of our showers are not even for pleasure. Altogether, a guy's sweating, a guy's schwitzing, he's been playing ball for 3 hours. It's 95 degrees out, and he feels like sweating like a dog. So then that's just obvious as to get rid of the dirt. So that's for sure, okay? A person gets itchy and stretchy, and he's not going to take a normal shower, so it's going to bother him. So then mikra din, that is okay. There again, there's some, like the cold showers, lukewarm shower, other thing, they try to minimize if they can a little bit, but in terms of the ikra din, the goal of the person's bathing is not their tainu, it's just for the purpose of just cleanliness, so then mikra din, that would be okay. However, other kinds of bathing, that is a tainu type of a bathing, so now is not the 9 days, not the time to sit in the jacuzzi, or the 9 days, not the time to go swimming. Guy's going swimming for a nice cool dip in the pool to relax and enjoy and geschmacks. That's something that should be avoided during these days of the 9 days. Anyway, so again, as we were able to see that many of the practices that we have during this time of the year, many of them are mamash halachas. Many of them are minhagim that it started as halachas in certain times. They're either things that only apply during Shavuot Shechabo, the only things that apply only during Sudah Mavsekas, and they've been extended back a little bit. And there are many of them that are just mamish minhagim yalma. There are things that just were nihugim that different Jewish communities accepted. The Ramah quotes a whole series of the general standard minhagim the Ashkenazim had. The Sfarim have a little bit less in terms of some of these minhagim, but the things that we touched on now are pretty much the nihugim of most standard Ashkenazi communities that we hopefully try as best as we can to observe properly. So the next really set of halachas that is upon us, hopefully maybe Ban HaMikdash, but right now what appears to be upon us, the set of halachas that govern Erev Tisha B'Av itself, and then leading into Tisha B'Av proper, and then immediately Matzah Tisha B'Av. So again, we'll do is, we'll make this a three-part series. I thought it would only be a one-part series, now we're going to have two-part, a three-part series. So hopefully, Mitzvah next week, as we'll get closer to Tisha B'Av itself, so we'll decide either next Friday, next Sunday, or something, we'll figure out when we'll do it. So we'll talk about the unique halachas of Erev Tisha B'Av leading into Tisha B'Av proper, and then some of the halachas in Rehagim that govern Matzah Tisha B'Av as well. Lead us into the Shabbos Nachmu. Not so long. A little bit, put them on, token, walk around the room a little bit. Put on another shirt, three shirts, I mean pants, whatever you think has to be tried on, put it on for sure. There's no psalach of Moshe Messiah next year. Okay, good. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, and Metz Hashem. So Sunday will be, there'll be Seder on Sunday, there won't be any formal Shir on Sunday, there'll be Seder on Sunday, to be determined where the Seder is going to be. Well, Zach will keep you posted. Yeah, I'm sorry, no, yeah.
What would you say the status is of like a Brit Yitzchak, which is like the party that they have the night before a bris, the Sfardim have the night before a bris?
I don't know whether that would really qualify. You have to, again, the Sfardim in general are much more makel about the Bas V'Yayin parts. Some Sfardim, there are different Sfardic communities have different customs about a lot of these things, but I'm not sure that we would call that really a Sudas Mitzvah. I think a bris is a Sudas Mitzvah. I'm not sure the night before would be really a Sudas Mitzvah. Okay? All right, good. Okay, everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. We'll be in touch. Take care. Okay.